morning.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Are we excited about moms today? Hand clap for mom today. Yeah, cheer for mom. Have you had, when was the last time like you were like, yeah, mom, you know? So, hey, it's a good day. I'm excited about today. Patsy representing here today. Because she, you know, she's a mom too. And I want to tell you that today we're going to celebrate Mother's Day, but you know, we want to recognize moms and all that kind of stuff. But the truth is that I really want to celebrate Jesus. I want to recognize our moms. I want to be thankful and take a moment to be able to do that. But at the same time, I want today to be centered on Christ, centered on the gospel. And so in lieu of all that, this morning, just kind of in thinking about moms and who moms are and what moms do for us, it got me to thinking about, you know, things that God has done for us. And quite honestly, I really, really would say, I think I can say this with complete biblical conviction and proof in Scripture, that the attributes that we love about mom are the attributes that we see that come from, are attributes that come from God. They are things that moms receive for being made in His image. And I think that that's a great thing. You know, caring, sacrificing, all of these things that we know of moms. I think at the same time, on days like today, we have to recognize that there are people that want to be, there are ladies that want to be moms. Maybe it hasn't happened. Maybe it's just never worked out, or maybe it never did work out. And to you ladies, I just want you to know that you probably, my experience is that a lot of those ladies end up being moms to many other people, and to some of us in life that need maybe a second or third or fourth mom to help raise us upright, so to speak. You know, thank you for being that. And for those of you that maybe today, you know, because of it being Mother's Day, is a day that's maybe painful because maybe your mom was not a godly mother. Maybe she didn't love Jesus or doesn't love Jesus. Maybe just doesn't know Him. You know, I want to say to you that to remember that Christ is sufficient, that He is enough. And if your mom is still with us, then you know, pray for her, lift her up, ask God to do a work in her heart. One of the greatest things about being a student minister for about 10 years and working with teenagers was many times I saw teenagers take on childlike faith, which we'll actually see in Scripture here in a few moments, take on the childlike faith that it takes to follow Jesus without question, without anything, just going all out, just all toward Jesus, and them end up leading their parents to Jesus in the long run. You know, if there's anybody that's ever going to lead somebody to the Lord, I would venture to say that a child could do that for a parent. So maybe that's your situation. Just know that we know that there is pain on days like today for some people, and that it's not all happy-go-lucky. But at the same time, we want to celebrate moms and especially mamas who are walking with Jesus. It's so awesome to have you guys here today. In thinking about all this, I think I share this story every Mother's Day. Maybe not. It just seems like it. When I was a kid, I was very wrapped up in a television show that was on TV for the early part of the 80s, and then came back later on, known as The Dukes of Hazzard. And oh wow, man. We didn't have that for the first service. That's pretty awesome. That's a 69 Charger, by the way, known as the General Lee. I could give you a whole dissertation on the General Lee right now. I won't. In growing up, you're going to bust out a slideshow on this, aren't you, before this is over with, after me telling this first service. But in growing up watching The Dukes of Hazzard, you know, I was old enough to pick up on things that I loved and, you know, like cars and all that kind of stuff. But I also picked up on things that I probably shouldn't have picked up on. And if you knew the show, on the show you had One of the things I love about this show, by the way, is like everybody's a good guy in the end. Everybody, like, you got like these guys that are running from the cops, but at the end of the day, they're good guys. You know, it's like everybody's a good guy. Everybody goes home and, you know, has some, you know, corn and moonshine or something. So, you know, and the thing about the show, on the show, you had Roscoe P. Coltrane, who was the sheriff. You really do have this ready to go, don't you? And you got Enos, who is his deputy. You got nothing for that, do you? Okay. So you got Roscoe P. Coltrane. He's a sheriff, and Roscoe was just always, you know, just always getting on his deputies, and especially Enos. Enos is kind of like a goofy guy and all this, and always making mistakes. And anytime Enos would make a mistake, Roscoe would call Enos. Anybody remember this? A dipstick. That is exactly right. Which is something in your car, you know? And so Roscoe would call Enos a dipstick. Well, somewhere along the way, I vividly remember my mother one day telling me to do something or saying something I didn't like or whatever the situation was. I turned around and I called her a dipstick. Whoa, was right. Because she wore me out over that. And I vividly remember that too. It's funny the things that moms do for us. The things that moms do for us is very similar. And again, I think very much in the image of God, how God has created mothers, we see attributes of who He is. And that's really what I want to look at today. I want to look at who God is and what He has for us. If you don't have a Bible with you, I want you to throw your hand up. We've got some ushers that will bring you a Bible, and you can hold on to that. In fact, if you don't own a Bible, we invite you to keep that one, and we give it to you as a gift. You can take it with you. If you do own one, then you can put it on the bookshelf when you're done or leave it in the seat, whichever. But if you've got a Bible with you, Luke chapter 12 is where we're going this morning. I want us to look at Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, we see a picture of something about God that I think is important. Now, I think if we're not careful, we make it all about us, and it's not all about us. In fact, it's hardly about us at all. It's really all about making Himself known. And we see this in Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 4 says this. It says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. You're thinking this is great for Mother's Day right now, I know. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. This passage of scripture starts out talking about people killing people. You know, it starts out, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. You know, Jesus is teaching here, and I think it's important what He's teaching for us to understand it as much as we possibly can. You know, I think this very much goes in line with the, you know, understanding that, you know, Jesus is saying, don't be worried about those people here that can come kill you. In other words, don't sit around the house all day long worried about the guy that's going to come break in and kill you. That's not where we are supposed to put our fear. Now, this is understandable, but I think to go further, I think you got to go context on this just a little bit. Because you got to understand that when Jesus is saying this, at this time, Jesus is also talking specifically about something that is actually happening. People are beginning to die for their faith in Christ. And so Jesus is specifically saying, you know, look, I'm aware that people are dying for their faith, but that's not where you need to have fear. You don't need to have fear because somebody's going to come and kill you because of your faith or because of anything else. No. Verse 5. But I will warn you whom to fear, he says. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So who is that? Who has the authority to cast into hell? Well, that'd be God. That's God that we're talking about right there. So what is that about? What is that about? I mean, we start, you know, hearing Jesus talking about this stuff. It's kind of like, Jesus, what are you saying? You're saying don't be afraid of people that might come kill us. But then at the same time, you're saying, but be afraid of God? Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. We should have a healthy fear of God. I think it's important to just even for a moment, just remember, somebody come bust a cap in you or something, and you're dead, at the end of the day, they don't have the final say of your eternity. God has final say of your eternity. I think for us just to even remember this is a huge piece of the puzzle for us, because we are very wound up in this world, what people think, what's going on, what's going to happen, what's the, you know, the next whatever. And the truth is that God holds the keys to our eternity. Say, well, Chris, thanks for teaching on hell on Mother's Day. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the gospel. There's a great thing that comes out of this. It's a great thing that comes out of this. It's an understanding of who God is. You see, the thing about me calling my mom a dipstick back in the day was knowing that as soon as the words came out of my mouth, that I was going to reap a punishment. There was going to be a consequence. A good parent instills into their child a healthy fear that when you do wrong, there's going to be a consequence. Now, this is not the parents that, you know, sometimes we see, you know, at the deal, and they're like, you know, beating other kids over the head, and they're like, oh, you got to quit doing that, and they just keep running around and keep beating other kids in the head, and quit doing that, and they just keep running around beating other kids in the head, quit doing that, and you're like, woman, I'm going to, you know what I mean? Good parents instill within their children that they love them, but that they are just, and that they are not going to let their kids run rampant calling everybody a dipstick, okay? God works the same way. We get that from him. We get an understanding of fear from him first. He is just. He's just. He too loves and cares for us in such a way that he's not going to allow us just to go do whatever we want to do, run the life. There's more to it than that. There's going to be consequence. Consequence for not following him with our life is eternal damnation. Just to put it out there, it's hell. The reason for following God is not so that we can escape that, to not get hell, to get our fire insurance or whatever. The reason to follow God is because we love him. We're thankful for what he's done for us. We want to live our lives for him because of what he's done for us. I don't know when the last time was that somebody did something incredibly kind for you. I got this week to have one of the most awesome experiences of my life, just walking up to people. Never forget one of the guys I walked up to this week when we were in Alabama. His name was Keith. You'll see a picture of him later on. He's wearing a hat and got gray hair. And I walked up to Keith, and I said, hey, we are here to help you. And he just walked up. And here I am. I'm standing on his property. His home is gone. That tornado picked up his home and took it somewhere else. We don't even know where. He built one room onto that home, and that room was still there, but it was smashed in. All of his trees were down. And I looked at him, and I said, hey, I just want you to know we're here to help you. And he turned and looked at me, and he said, this is the first time I've seen my home since the storm. And just in that moment, I was humbled. I was humbled to a place that I haven't been in a long time, just to recognize that, you know, we had an opportunity to do something for him that maybe he wouldn't get anywhere else. And I told him, I said, look, I said, we've got some giving people that came from our church. We've got some guys that brought equipment that would cost untold amounts of money to have them clear your lot or to do whatever you want to do. I said, but we're here. And I said, for the next however long it takes us, we would like to help you. What would you like to have done? Take a few minutes and you think about it. So a few minutes later, we came back and he said, I want you to just push it all to the street. Just push it all. And so that's what we did. To be in that situation, to have somebody willing to help you do something that you don't even know if you could afford to do, if you had to do it, and just say, I just want to help you right now. No, nothing, no strings attached. We just want you to know that Jesus loves you. It's an awesome opportunity. And it's a reminder, I think, for us of where we should be standing on the other side of the cross, to remember what God has done for us, to remember the sacrifice that was made because he cared. You see, Jesus is teaching, don't fear people that might kill you, but fear God. Have a healthy fear of him. Have a healthy fear and understanding of who he is. I got to see power of God this week in a way I haven't seen power of God before. I've seen floods. I've seen a lot of other things. I've not necessarily been in the path of where tornadoes trod. And I saw trees this week, huge, old trees, woods full of trees, where they literally looked like somebody had taken them from the top and taken all the branches and then just stripped all branches and bark off the tops of these trees, leaving them with nothing but just like toothpicks sticking out. And literally you looked over a whole entire area of woods and that's every single tree was just like that. If it wasn't on the ground, it looked like a toothpick. And it was something to behold. It was something that put me in awe of who God is, how powerful he is. To have a healthy fear, he is all powerful. He is in charge. Verse 6 brings this home for us. Verse 6 and 7. I want to read this with you. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God? I want to talk about sparrows for just a second. It's kind of a weird deal because all of a sudden we're going from like talking about God saying, don't worry about people that are going to kill you, to you need to put that kind of fear into God. You need to have that kind of fear over here. The whole deal with this passage of scripture is Jesus is setting some things up here and he's wanting to make clear how much God does something for us. And he starts with this verse, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Well, let's start with the sparrows. The sparrows are basically like cheap birds. Cheap, as in like, you know, money cheap. And so, you know, for us to kind of get what's going on here, if you look at this historically and what most people would say and think about this and kind of knowing what sparrows would cost and how you would go about buying sparrows a lot of times, in this situation, what it's talking about is like 5 sparrows for 2 pennies would really have been, if you went to the market, and I know this kind of sounds flea market-ish here, but if you went to the market or something to buy sparrows, normally you would pay 1 penny for 2 sparrows. But they are so cheap that at that point in time that you could buy, if you had 2 pennies, not only could you get 4, but if you bought 4, they would throw a 5th one in for free. It was such a, you know, kind of a cheaply done thing. And this was something that people would buy a lot of times actually even to eat. If they were very poor, if they didn't have a lot of money, many times at the very end of the day, they knew that they could go and get some sparrows and that would be dinner. The reason that Jesus is talking about sparrows is because they are such an insignificant animal. And not one of them is forgotten before God. So on the heels of talking about, you know, don't be worried about a guy that might come kill you, but have fear in God, have a healthy fear in who God is, remember that even these 5 sparrows, that not even one of them is forgotten by God. In fact, it goes on in verse 7, it says, why even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus is making a point here to say, yes, have fear in God. Have a healthy fear in who God is. But be reminded at the very same time that he cares for you. That if he cares, if he even gives a rip about these sparrows, and not one of them is forgotten before God, why, even the hairs in your head are numbered. Did you realize that? God knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. He is omniscient. This is talking about a doctrine of God, of him being all-knowing. He knows all things. That's our God. He knows all things. He knows things before we do them. He knows what's up. He has it all figured out. He has a mission. We talked about that last week. I think this morning for us just to even just get a glimpse that what Jesus is saying with the sparrows, what Jesus is saying with the hairs on our head, is he's saying even these most insignificant things God knows. So why would we ever question that he doesn't know what's going on with us? Why would we ever question, does he care about what's going on with us? God cares for us, and he wants us to cast our cares on him. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. This passage starts off with humble yourselves. Anytime I see the words humble yourselves in Scripture, it automatically leads me to a don't be proud statement. When I read that, I'm going, okay, Chris, don't be proud. And don't be proud so that I can learn something from what's coming up here or be able to do something that I'm being instructed to do. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We're proud people, aren't we? Proud people. This week when we were working, Pennington was with us. He has one of these skid steers, and it broke while we were there, of course. I think he's probably popping wheelies with it or something. I don't know. And so later on, he comes to me. He's like, hey, my deal's broke. And I was like, man, what's going on with it? He's like, well, I need a part. And we start talking about it, and I'm a little mechanical. And so he's like, oh, it needs a starter. And I was like, dude, we're going to find that starter. I'm going to fix that thing. I'm going to fix it tomorrow. We're going to have you back hauling trees around in no time flat. He's like, you think so? I was like, I know it. Thing is still not fixed. brought that thing home broken. Couldn't get the part, so it's a good excuse, right? But no, in the moment, like I'm just like, I'm so jacked up, so pumped up about like wanting to try to help my friend who is trying to do work for others and serve others. I'm just going, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this right now. And that is so us with our anxieties, with our worries. Are you a worrier? Do you have things in your life right now that you are worried about? Because this passage of Scripture is saying, humble yourselves before God so that you can cast all of your anxieties on him. Because he cares for you. He cares for you. God cares for you. I look back on my mom and things that she did for me along the way. And one of the things that, you know, some of those things as a kid, you don't really get how big a deal it was. And then years down the road, you look back on things that they did. And one of the things my mom did, when we moved to Nashville, we didn't have a lot of money. It was honestly pretty tough for us to live here for a while as a family. I remember that. And one of the things my parents really wanted to do is they wanted me to have a really good education, and they were real concerned about it. And we never had the opportunity, I don't guess anywhere we'd lived before, to even be in a private school or anything like that. And they really wanted to put me in a private school. I was going in the eighth grade, and so my high school years were coming and all that. And so they had found a Christian school locally that they wanted me to go to, and so they enrolled me. As a kid, I didn't realize how big a sacrifice this was for my parents. And later on down the road, as years went by, my mom had actually taken a job there at the school as a librarian, and which is kind of fun. I'd go in and mess with her, you know, like during study hall and stuff. And I remember one day going out after school. We were riding home, and I was whining and complaining. I think I was wanting to, you know, go to Sonic or something, and I was telling mom, hey, let's go, let's don't go home, let's go get a snack or, you know, whatever. And mom was like, we need to go home, we don't really need to spend the money. And I said, oh, you know, you're working at the school, you know, you got your librarian paycheck, you know, you can surely, you know, afford to get us some ice cream or something. And she wasn't saying it to brag. She wasn't saying it to make me feel bad. She wasn't any of that. She just looked at me and she said, Chris, she said, you do understand that you going to the school is a sacrifice for our family. And the reason that I work at the school is because they basically give us a discount on your tuition, and all of my paycheck just goes to your tuition. And I was kind of like, oh, you know. And I look back on that now and I realize now what a huge sacrifice that my mom made, you know, for me to be able to go to school there, that her paycheck, she never saw any of that paycheck ever. You know, she didn't do that for her. She did that for me. You know, and I think when we see scripture like this that teaches us to humble ourselves before God, that in doing so, only in doing that, only when we can overcome our pride, that we could allow God to take on our worries, our anxieties, and see that He really does care for us. I think I'm reminded of the people in my life that have done those things like that, that have cared. And as great as God's care is for us, as great and wonderful and awesome, as much as He cares for us, even greater is His sacrifice. Even greater is His sacrifice. You see, at the end of the day, we're left with God, who cared so much for us that He would allow His Son to be strung up on some wood and be killed in front of the entire world. All so that we might be forgiven of the very things that we do against Him. That's sacrifice. That's caring. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. He does care for you. He does care for us. He did sacrifice for us. Mom's care is great. Mom's sacrifice is huge. God's care is great. God's sacrifice is absolutely unbelievable. This morning, maybe you don't know God's sacrifice. Maybe you've heard a lot about it over the years, but maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus. I want you to know at the end of the service today that some of the pastors and other folks will be hanging out down here in front of the stage. We would love to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus. He wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to have a relationship with you. It's not about some religiosity stuff. This is about you and Jesus. Don't fear those that will come kill you here. You're wasting your time. Have a healthy fear in who God is. And remember that that fear is based upon the same fear that we have in a mom and a dad that loves us, cares for us, and is just and is not, cares for us enough that they're not going to just let us just run and do whatever we want. But there are reasons behind. They're guiding our lives. God wants to guide us. He wants to be our Lord and Savior. He wants to be number one. If you have children that are going to be dedicated at the end of the service, I'm going to ask that you slip out to go get them while the band plays. For the rest of us, I want us to pray for just a minute and seek the Lord about what He's called us to through His Word. Let's pray. God, we recognize today how great You are. God, I pray that You would be the center of our lives. Pray that You would be the center of our families. But most importantly, God, I pray that You would be the center of our soul. God, that our soul would burn for You, that it would long for You, that we would worship You with everything that we are. God, I pray, Lord, that the message of the gospel, You're redeeming us. God, You're caring for us. You're sacrificing for us. God, that we wouldn't make that all necessarily about us, but God, that we would respond in understanding and recognizing that that's all about You. God, You get the glory for all those things. You are made famous because of all of those things. God, be made famous in who we are. Be made famous in our lives. Lord, use us for Your glory. God, for those that don't know You this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that You would draw them near to You. God, I pray that before they leave this place today, that they would talk to someone about what it means to know Jesus as their Savior. God, may this be the day of their salvation. Lord, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for allowing us an opportunity to worship You, to honor You. We love You.